Well, someone as well said that when the outlook is bleak, try the uplook. When your circumstances seem to be dire, dismal and depressing, and you feel perhaps as if you're done, you can go no further, look up. The psalmist speaks of such a time in Psalm 107, verses 26 through to 29. When he says these words, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. They're at their wits' end. Look what happens then in verse 28. He goes on to say, Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh a storm a calm, so that the waters thereof are still. Hezekiah looked beyond his own throne and fixed his attention upon the throne of God, the one who is enthroned. Verse 15 of this text, which we read together this morning already, the Lord God which dwelleth between the cherubims. The name Hezekiah means the Lord strengthens. Hezekiah was the king of Judah there for 29 years, and it was by and with the strength of the Lord that he accomplished everything which he did. What a challenge to each and every one of us this morning. As we journey through this life, in Acts 17:28, we are reminded, for in him we live and move and have our being. We so often fall into the trap, whether we be young or a little older, of thinking that we are in control. It's our life. It's our plans. We think we know what we are doing. Albert Barnes, the Bible commentator, reminds us of this wonderful fact. The natural life which men live is from God, and they are supported in it by him and from him, and they have all the comforts and blessings of life, and all owing to the power and the providence of God. In him, men and women and young people this morning, we live and move and have our being. Hezekiah knew this to be so. He knew the strength was in and of the Lord. Any strength he possessed, it was of the Lord. May we always be mindful of this glorious fact, even as a body of believers. As seen in the words of John 5 and verse 30, I can of mine own self do nothing. With these preliminary thoughts upon our minds, I want to turn your attention today particularly to the prayer of Hezekiah for a time. In the verse 14 of 2 Kings 19, we find King Hezekiah has just received a letter from the king of Assyria. It wasn't just any letter. It was a chilling letter. It was an alarming letter. It was, we can go as far to say, it was a blasphemous letter. His life and the lives of the people were at risk from the king of Assyria. What did he do? Well, note with me, in the first place, Hezekiah sought the help of the Lord. He sought the help of the Lord. There in verse 14 we read, and Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord. He spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone. And of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. He went up to the house of the Lord. He spread it there before the Lord. What a testimony. What a testimony. He went straight to the house of the Lord. He brought the need before the Lord. Oh, it may seem simple, but yet so profound. When we think of so many needs that we face in our daily lives, and yet the last thing we ever seem to do is come before the Lord and make it a matter of prayer. Hezekiah was not a high priest, therefore he could not enter into the holies of holies, where the mercy seat sat upon the Ark of the Covenant. Nonetheless, he could enter by faith, just as you and I can this morning, as blood-bought children of God. Turn over with me for a moment, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. the verse 19. We read these words, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." Hezekiah got to prayer. He got to prayer. And Luke reminds us in his gospel in Luke 18 in the verse 1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. But have many not fainted today when it comes to the subject of prayer? Given up. Given up almost completely. The prayer meeting, sadly, almost always the smallest gathering of the church. Given up. Given up on prayer. And then they have the audacity to complain about their circumstances, their problems, their difficulties, when the Lord Jesus Christ, the maker of heaven and earth, has promised to bless all who ask. You know, men and women, this morning, the rebuke to each and every one of us is simply this: ye have not, because ye ask not. And you know, if we haven't time to ask, well, then we can expect to do without. There was no loitering with Hezekiah. He didn't dawdle or delay. There was no brainstorming. There was no trying to work things out in his own way, in his own plan. There was no strategizing with his own armies, his own plans. He didn't ask around seeking suggestions from trusted men. No. Hezekiah knew where his strength came from. Oh, the hymn writer puts it so aptly: what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. But what do we often do? What peace we often forfeit. What needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Hezekiah knew his strength was from and of the Lord, and therefore he sought the help of the Lord. And folks, today, oftentimes we waste more time searching for answers to life's problems when we should be like Hezekiah of old. We should just come and spread it before the Lord. Brethren and sisters, this morning, young people, I believe more and more than ever before we need to lay hold upon Christ and stand firm upon his promises, acknowledging once more today that without him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. Our strength as believers is in and of him, the Lord Jesus. We have need of nothing or no one else when life's storms rage around us. We have that open access to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, to seek his help in whatever situation that we find ourselves in. Prayer is that most vital breath to every believer. To every child of God, a wonderful privilege that is afforded to us. The Savior reminds us in John 16 and 24, "Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." You see, men and women, this morning, prayer is a tool which is often neglected, a weapon which is often overlooked as we seek to engage in the warfare against the evil one. So often as we live for God, we can be tempted to forsake prayerful intercession with our Heavenly Father. Just call a friend. Seek his or her advice on the matter. And these things have their place. Iron sharpeneth iron. It's good to have trusted friends. Nevertheless, we are reminded by the Apostle Paul there in 1 Thessalonians that it is a command to pray. Pray without ceasing. Matthew 7 and 7, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." And this verse, as I'm sure has been pointed out to you before, in the Greek is in the continuous tense, meaning to ask, not just once, not just twice, not just three, not 10 times, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. It should bless our hearts to understand and realize, just as Hezekiah sought the help of the Lord way back then in the 700 BC, we too can seek him this morning. That very same privilege is opened up to us as God's children this very day. Tell me, will you seek him? Oh, you haven't been at the prayer meeting for a while. Private prayer isn't going so well either. Oh, you need him in your heart. You need him in your life. You need that guidance. Will you seek him today? Will you seek the Lord to undertake for your circumstances, to intervene in your life? You're heartbroken over a family member. He's not saved. Are you praying for them as you ought? That's a challenge to the preacher this morning. When Hezekiah prayed, he sought the help of the Lord. But note also, he sought to honour the Lord. There in verse 19, "Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, and that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only." He sought to honour the Lord. Every year, Her Majesty the Queen's New Year's honours list, or birthdays honours list, are released. And when one goes before her there to receive their honour, they do so in acknowledgement of her as their sovereign. They'll go before her in their finest attire, their finest clothes. They'll kneel there before her. They will receive the honour which is bestowed upon them. They will then kneel or curtsy, step back in respect of her royal status. Yet here we read of Hezekiah, the sovereign, the monarch, the ruling king of Judah. He desired neither glory nor honour. Why? Because he knew that everything that would be achieved would be done in and through the strength of the Lord. Therefore he pleaded that all glory and honour went to the name of the Lord there in our text, that all kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Tell me, what about us this morning? What about you and me? What about you and I? Are we living a life that honours, glorifies our Saviour? Living a life of obedience to him, the Lord Jesus Christ? Can we be likened unto him? When we go from this place today and the work starts tomorrow, or the school starts, the university class, whenever we arrive in the building, wherever it is that we are we just one day a week Christians? Oh, we look the part today and we say all the right things. What about tomorrow? When people look upon you, what do they see? Do you reflect the glory of your Savior? Is it evident that you are different? Have we that desire to live a life which is God glorifying, Christ exalting, in honor of our Lord and Savior, the sole King and Head of the Church? Oh yes, we're all only human. We're all made from the dust of the ground. For dust thou art, unto dust shalt thou return. We're reminded there in the book of beginnings in Genesis. We can easily get ahead about ourselves, as it were. We can become proud and haughty. And sadly, this even happens in the work of God. So often we all need reminded of the Lord's declaration in 1 Samuel. "Them that honour me, I will honour." Hezekiah, though the king of Judah, he sought to live a life in honour of the Lord. Don't misunderstand this morning. This in no way meant that he was weak or feeble. He was a meek man, not a weak man. the weak can be taken advantage of in school, perhaps in college or in the workplace. And perhaps you have joined with the congregation here, you've maybe started the local universities. Well, can I encourage you to keep coming, to be part of the work of God here? Because Daniel states, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And you know, if we're not going to be weak as Christians, we're going to want to be involved in the work of God. We're going to put our hand to the plow. We're going to be found at the prayer meetings, youth fellowship, church services. God help us and strengthen us. Then as we grow in our walk with Him. Matthew 5:5, we're reminded, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We ought to be meek Christians, but not weak. King Hezekiah was a mighty man, mighty indeed. He was the greatest of the kings of Judah. If you look back with me there to the previous chapter in 2 Kings 18:4, you can see how King Hezekiah stood for that which was right. He removed the high places and broke the images. He cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nabuhushta. He put an end to the worship of idols. He was no soft touch. Yet as a man of faith in the true and living God, and knowing the power and the strength of the Lord, he didn't want the people to be worshipping dead images, idols. You know, a man once said to me, he prayed daily that he would do nothing that would bring dishonor to the name of the Lord or that would offend the Lord. And I've often thought about what he said and figured it to be a wonderful prayer to start our day with. That as we'd leave our house and go out to do that which is necessary, that we'd do nothing or say nothing that would offend the Lord or dishonor the Lord. His desire was like that of King Hezekiah's. His sole longing was to honor the Lord. Tell me, is that your desire today? Is that your desire? Have you that desire within your heart to honor the Lord in all that you say or do? Whenever you go from this place, as you start into the week that lies ahead, do you desire to honor the Lord? Perhaps you gather with us this morning. Or you're listening in, even online. You're not saved. Therefore, you cannot honor the Lord. You're at enmity with the Lord. You know not the Lord. You've never been regenerated, born again. You don't know what it is to be saved. You don't know what it is this morning to have that peace within your heart. You care not for the Savior, the one who shed his precious blood at Calvary, that you might be redeemed. Well, surely our heart's desire is this morning that by God's grace you will turn away from that which is wrong. Flee to that which is right. You'll come in repentance with faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved this day, acknowledging your sinfulness, your unworthiness before a thrice holy God, depending upon Him alone, upon His finished work, His atoning work there on the cross at Calvary, trusting and believing in Him alone for salvation. Only then will you too be able to live a life which is in honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. King Hezekiah, he sought the help of the Lord. He sought to honor the Lord. But see also with me, so he was heard of the Lord. He was heard of the Lord. There in verse 20, I expect you might agree there is nothing more irritating than when you are speaking to someone and you feel as though you are not getting a hearing. They're not listening to a word that you say. Well, I have to put my hands up this morning and say I'm guilty at times. There can be kids coming in the home and my wife having a conversation, and I'm thinking of something else, and everything's happening at the one time, and I'm sorry, but I'm not gifted with that wonderful gift that many ladies possess, that they can do many things at one time. I have to just do one thing at a time. Listen to one story at a time. And oftentimes I get accused, "You're not listening at all. You never heard a word I said." Yet we read here in verse 20, "Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib king of Assyria, I have heard." I have heard. The Lord says, "I have heard." There are no words that can thrill the heart of the believer, the child of God, any more than these, surely, this morning. These three words, "I have heard." What greater privilege do any of us have than to have the ear of God, being heard of Him? Oh yes, we know the Lord has no bodily parts or passions. But spiritually speaking, to know that He hears, He understands, He has a care, a concern for His people. What greater privilege do any of us have than being heard of Him? Maybe you have opened up to someone thinking that they had a care, a concern for you, for what you were experiencing, for what you were going through. Yet it transpired, after all, that they never really heard a thing. They didn't hear a word that you said. They never really cared. Never really cared. Yet the Lord God of Israel says, "I have heard." He says, "I have heard." And believer, today it doesn't end there. Turn over the page with me, if you would, to 2 Kings 20 in the verse 5. Hezekiah was sick, and he cried unto the Lord for deliverance. "Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thee thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. I will heal, I will add unto thee." Hezekiah had 15 years added to his life. "I will defend this city." You know, our attention has been drawn in recent days by many to 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. "Since the arrival of this pestilence upon us, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." Here we see another example of a prerequisite or a precondition to having our prayers heard of the Lord. There must be that seeking for the help of the Lord in prayer. Just as King Hezekiah did, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray." If you're ever going to see anything done for God, we must get to prayer. We must pray. I remember singing that hymn I don't know if it's in our hymn book, in primary school, "Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through." Have you asked for help for what you're experiencing this morning? There must be that seeking to honor the Lord, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Is there something in your life holding back the blessing, the place of prayer? You desire the honor for yourself and not to the Lord. It's only when these things are right, then we will be heard of the Lord. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. King Hezekiah was heard of the Lord. Help was given. His prayer was answered in honor of his obedience and reverence of God. He was promised deliverance from the Assyrian army, and that is exactly what happened there. In verse 35, we read of this. Look at the liberation God granted in such a miraculous manner. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians, and 185,000. And they arose early in the morning. Behold, they were all dead corpses, there in verse 35. The very night the angel of the Lord killed 185,000 Assyrian troops, and the dead bodies were seen all across the land in the morning. Destroyed by the angel of the Lord in one night. And brethren and sisters this morning, and young people, let us never lose sight of the fact that God can and does still intervene in answer to our prayers. What lessons there are for us to learn from the prayer of Hezekiah today. It ought to challenge each one of us as God's people. Reminded there in Jeremiah 33:3, it comes to mind, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Many ways it's just a simple plea, but in it there is that sure promise. And seen there that striking provision, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We all must confess surely this morning, sometimes we just would dwell upon the past blessings. We dwell upon the good old days we're often found speaking of, almost in a way that it appears that we believe that we can never expect or experience such blessing ever again. Friends, this morning as we draw to a close, I want to encourage you. I want to remind you that just as Hezekiah prayed for the help of the Lord, he sought to honor the Lord and so was heard of the Lord, so can you and me. So can you and me. What an honor. What an honor today that's bestowed upon us. Does it not excite you this morning, my friend? Does it not cause you as you sit in your seat to shout, hallelujah? The Lord answers prayer. He hears, he sees, he answers the prayers of his children. We're a privileged people. And as we continue in this life, as we seek to serve the Lord in whatever sphere that he has placed us, may each one of us be found as Hezekiah of old, whether it be with regard to our personal lives, our families, and for the church family here as a whole, may we spread it all out before the Lord. Believing him. Trusting him. Knowing that he hears and answers the prayers of his own people. King Hezekiah sought the help of the Lord. He sought to honor the Lord. So was heard of the Lord. I trust our considerations of Hezekiah's prayer this morning has been a blessing and a challenge.